You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 66. And this is one of those shows today where we have a guest on the show, and today's guest is Iphigenia. Now, Iphigenia brings us a very, 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 very short dream. And as you will hear, a very, 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 very short dream does not necessarily mean a very short interpretation. And that's not because we found it difficult. It was actually a very easy dream to interpret, and it led down lots of very interesting and enlightening paths, as you will hear. I think you'll really love this one. Lots of surprises. And, you know, I had a little list of things that I was going to talk about just at the end of the show, and they all came up during the discussion with Iphigenia. So I think we were really, we were resonating well there. Anyway, here we go. Enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Iphigenia. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you, Jane Theresa?
Oh, good, yes. We're sort of looking at, waiting for rain to fall from the sky. It hasn't rained here for about 3 weeks, and it's looking very grey and promising. Probably be a lot of listeners listening in thinking, grey and promising? What does that mean? Most people...
It's a little bit like that here today.
Is it the
too?
Same? But nice fresh air, hey?
Yeah, yesterday was a lovely sunny day, so that was a bonus.
Oh, that's lovely. And that was a Sunday too, because we're recording here on a Monday, aren't we? So that was a nice weekend weather.
Yes.
Okay, Iphigenia, what have you got for me today?
Okay. This dream I had last night, it was about me walking into a room and being told that my husband, who I don't have a husband, was elected the President of the United States. And then my husband came into the room and I told him, because he was not aware of it. And he then gave me $9 to go shopping, I think. And there was a limousine outside waiting to take us to whatever commitments he would have had to have with his new role. And it wasn't Bill Clinton or any of the familiar faces.
Right, he wasn't any of the familiar faces. What did he look like?
There was no clear picture of his face. I could only sense the body language. Which is of a person that I know.
All right, okay. Did the dream end there, by the way, before we continue?
I'm sorry?
Did the dream end there with the limousine outside, or did the dream continue?
I'm not sure. I don't remember all of it.
Yeah, that's okay. So when you're looking at the body language of this man in the dream, your husband, and it actually reminds you of someone you know,
yes.
Which three words would you use to describe the personality of that someone that you know?
Not the politician type, definitely. soft, gentle, a little bit awkward.
That's three. That's good. Did you have another one coming there?
I was going to go on to say, I can't get it at the moment.
That's okay. It might
come to me.
When you say a little bit awkward, do you mean like socially or?
Yes.
Is it a bit socially? Was he like shy or?
Yes, there is an element of that.
Mm. Would you be able to describe it any more about, you know, how he was a little bit awkward? How he's a little bit awkward?
Humble is the word I could use in the way he accepted when I told him.
Mm.
And it was like getting about to work, getting things done.
Mm.
There was no celebration as such of the event or any excitement in particular. It was sort of going on with what had to be done.
All right, okay, that's good. So, yeah, so his awkwardness would have been around any kind of official celebration or pomp and circumstance. That's not him. He's more natural and just get on with it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm not the politician type at all, really, is he? You're right. Wouldn't it be lovely to have politicians who are soft and gentle and humble and just get on and do what's got to be done?
Can you remember of one of them? Because I certainly don't.
No, maybe
not with elections coming up.
Not with our elections coming up. No. Well, if any of them are listening in, get in contact with us and, you know, bring us a dream. Let's have a nice politician dream come in. Okay, in the dream, there's a lovely limousine waiting for you outside.
It was black.
Yeah. And it was going to take you shopping.
No, it was going to take us on to commitments.
Oh, that's right, onto the commitments, yeah. And but you had $9, the princely sum of $9 for shopping as well.
He gave me $9, yes.
In the dream, was that a lot of money? Did that feel like a lot of money?
No, but it felt adequate.
Mm. It felt adequate
for the purpose.
That's great, yeah. And if we take that number, we're gonna zoom into the interpretation in a minute. But I'm just working around the symbols here. If we take that number nine, do you have any personal significance or feelings around the number nine?
I like number nine.
Mm.
I have three nines in my birth chart.
Ah. So it,
yes.
So it gives you a feeling of
it's familiarity.
That's nice. Oh, you know, it's interesting. This dream is about, you know, oh yes, my husband's just been made the President of the United States and there's a limo waiting outside. One. This feels very familiar to me. Well, we'll come back to that.
I see your point. That's a very good point.
Hey,
which I've missed completely. It's just, yes, it's an event that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And it does. You'll realise when we get down to the interpretation. But just one last question. If we play around with the number nine, apart from it being a personal symbol to you, you know, something you like, it's three times in your birth chart and it's a feeling of familiarity. If we looked at 9 years ago, you know, and 9 months ago, I wonder where that would take us. So 9 years ago would be 2001.
9 years ago terribly significant around that time. 9 months, that would take us just before the end of the year.
That's right,
year.
Yeah.
I actually had a reconciliation with that person.
Ah. Right, okay. And has that reconciliation lasted? Is it still, you're still reconciliated?
No.
No. How long did it last?
Not long.
Okay. but it did happen 9 months ago, so that looks like our nine there.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to begin to put this together and then we'll go a little deeper because it's an absolutely beautiful dream. It's precious. I really, really love it. The man in your dream, Iphigenia, as you know, doesn't represent, even though he seems to be like this person you had the reconciliation with, everybody in the dream is an aspect of yourself, and I know that you know that.
Yes.
And the husband or partner in a dream for a woman, it often will represent the male side. So he's like your male side at the moment. Now, by the male side, we mean, the female side is your inner world. It's like your right brain. It's your creative, emotional, spiritual self. It's everything about Iphigenia on the inside is your female side, the part you don't show the world. And then your male side, for all women and for men as well, the male side is what we really show the world. It's more like the left brain. It's how we get out there, how we interact with the world, with work, with being logical, with maybe being competitive, and all of those kind of things. So in your dream, the male, particularly the male partner, and in your case, your husband in the dream, represents that, the male side of you. So this dream is really about how you're getting on in the world out there, at work, your sort of public face, the sort of material aspect of yourself rather than the spiritual aspect of yourself, in a sense. And so what's really wonderful about him is that he's just, you know, got one of the top positions in the world. What a position of power.
President of the United.
There's hope for me.
Yeah, oh, there's definitely hope for you. I don't know why Australia wasn't enough for you, because I know you're Australian. Yeah.
And I don't have any connection with America whatsoever.
No connections at all. So what do you see as the, you know, your personal view, the difference between, say, America and Australia? If America had a personality, if America was a person, what would America's personality be?
Vastness, all is all I can say.
Vastness. Did you say huge? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So and obviously infinitely bigger than Australia in both.
And power, perhaps.
And power, yes. Good. Vastness, yes. And power. So remembering that a dream always refers to the, you know, the 24 to 48 hours before the dream, Iphigenia.
Yes.
What you did in that 2 days before your dream, which was last night, your dream?
Yes.
It was last night. So in the last 2 days, was that something clicked in your outer world, or your feelings about your outer world, by which you feel that you have, you know, in becoming the president in the dream, and your husband becoming the president of the dream, you feel you have gained a huge sense of power over something really big. You know, that something really big is like vast America. And in a sense, because you're Australian, you have... or, you know, this is where you live, this is where you've made your home. Yes. This is like stepping outside of your comfort zone, your known territory, and you are you are pushing into bigger, more powerful boundaries. So how are we going so far?
Very well, because if it is connected with something that I'm doing and that I'm too scared to actually promote, then maybe that is telling me that it will happen.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense, because remember... go on.
The only thing I did yesterday was produce a lovely cream, which is what I do.
Ah.
And a couple of ingredients just kind of fell together. But I've been doing this for a long time now, and I sell it directly to my clients. But I don't have the confidence to actually put it out there.
Oh, that's fantastic, because we're going to get you that confidence. So it wasn't just any old normal weekend. You actually sat down and created a whole new cream and a whole new marketing technique, and are just waiting for the whole new confidence to come with it. What a wonderful woman.
Could that be it? That would be wonderful.
Oh, this is definitely connected, yeah. Because the important...
That would be a dream come true, but it's a secret dream.
Well, you've just shared it with I don't know how many listeners. and with a little more interpretation and the application of an alchemy. Yeah, maybe you can make us an alchemy cream or something with the application of an alchemy cream.
Yes, I do feel like an alchemist when I'm in the kitchen making cream.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You see, you're going to really, really make this one happen. Look, one of the key things is to remember that our dreams reflect the last 24 to 48 hours in our lives. And remember also that what our dreams are doing in that reflection is reflecting not only our conscious experiences like you had of producing the cream and the marketing and thinking, oh, am I confident, am I not? But they're also processing the unconscious beliefs and experiences and thoughts that went with that. So what you're really seeing in any dream at any time is a reflection of where you are at this moment, you know, your mindset at this moment. And sometimes that is capturing a shift or a change.
Okay.
So although you haven't actually decided whether you've got the confidence to go out and launch this particular new cream, your dream has, I feel, has captured the moment where you have actually realized that you don't have any barriers to that. It's like, yes, I could be the president of the United States. I could launch this cream and really step outside these boundaries and do something really vast. And everything in the dream pointed to, well, you know, there were no obstacles in the dream. The dream ended happily from what you can remember. Everything's ready to go. The limo's there. You had your $9, which you regarded in the dream as perfectly adequate.
I wasn't going to be the driver. There was a driver as well.
Any idea who the driver was?
No.
No. Okay, so you had, in a sense, in the dream, you were, obviously the driver would be an aspect of yourself somewhere there, but you weren't concerned about getting out there and doing the driving, doing the motivating. You were basically just being able to be in a relaxed position and basically go along for the ride. Mm. So you had no bar. Your dream shows no bars whatsoever. Even though awake, you're saying to me and to everyone listening today, I'm not sure that I've got the confidence to do this. That's your conscious voice speaking. Your unconscious voice in the dream is going, look, yeah, ready to go. And I like about the nine, you know, you said partly it's a personal number for you and it feels familiar. So let's translate these bit by bit. You've just told us that you're familiar with making creams. It's just that this is a new one that you're not so sure about. It's a bit different. So there's some element of nine there. It's got familiarity in it.
Yes.
It's also relates to this reconciliation with this man 9 months ago. So there may be something when you actually flip back through that, even though you're no longer reconciled, there was something in what happened in that relationship 9 months ago that to some extent made you feel more confident about what you're doing or about to do now with this cream.
Yes.
And, you know, that you describe your husband in the dream, who also reminds you of this person from 9 months ago, you describe him as soft, gentle, a little bit awkward, but basically humble, not interested in the celebrations or the pomp and circumstance, really just let's get on with what's got to be done.
That's right.
And yet a very, very powerful position, you know, President of the United States. So all of those things.
What an anti-climate.
Well, I've written down anti-climax. I don't usually write things down during a podcast. I actually find it really hard to write and think at the same time and do it, but I've just written anti-climax because we're going to come back to that.
there we go.
No, look, what I see there is that everything in you that may in the past have held back from doing something as big as this has shifted and changed. So that you now realize that all you need to go forward with something is to be soft, gentle, humble, and get on and do what needs to be done. Even though, as you've just said, that feels like a bit of an anti-climax. Whereas in the past, you might have felt, oh, look, you know, maybe I've got to be firmer, I've got to be the driving force, like the driver in the car. I've got to be powerful. I've got to be political, maybe, because this is the politician that isn't like a politician. I've got to be political. I've got to do it with celebration and pomp and circumstance. I've got to do it with loads and loads of money or loads of self-value, whereas, in fact, $9 is enough.
Oh,
So do you feel that there has been a shift in you recently where you realize that you actually don't need to do all this political pomp and circumstance to launch?
I think what I learned recently was that it was always there, but I didn't cultivate it. And I kind of went along with the crowd rather than stick to my own being.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, apart from anything else, you've got the nine there for familiarity and in your birth chart, which means sticking to your own being. Also, this is my understanding of the world. If you go with something with your being your natural self, which is what you're saying, there's no need for hype.
No.
There's no need to be political.
No.
Because you automatically have the magic with you.
Oh.
And that's more persuasive. So whereas in the past, you may have held back from, you know, thinking that you don't want to do something as outrageous as this new cream because you're going to feel uncomfortable, you're going to feel political, you're going to feel there's all the hype. There's been a shift in you by which you know that it's okay to be your natural self and to do things that interest you and to put them out there and to be soft and gentle. And to some extent, humble about them.
Yes, they tell me I am. They, when my clients praise my creams, I always say, "Are you sure?"
And they still buy them.
And I still buy them. And one lady, I said, are you just buying it to make me happy? Are you sure you really like it? This was at the beginning. Yeah. And she said, well, we do love you, but not that much.
Now, there's a change, you see, because, okay, so that's your natural self, to be soft and gentle and humble. But you were thinking, with this bigger launch of this bigger cream, how could you do that? Because these aren't going to be your everyday clients out there who might just buy it because it's you. This is a bigger thing, and this is where you've been held back in the past from taking such a big step. Whereas this political husband in the dream, who becomes the president of the United States of America, that's like, he would be, let's put it this way, the president of the United States of America could be soft, gentle and humble, but would not be saying to people, but are you really sure you want to vote for me? You're not just doing it because I'm a friend. You know, there is a different power. You can be soft, gentle and humble and not confident. Or you're going to be soft, gentle and humble and very confident and very standing in your own power. So something you said earlier, but I'm not really sure if I'm confident for that. You know, you were onto it there. Confidence is the key. Once you're confident, obviously you don't need to say to people, are you sure? You're not just buying it because of me. But you also feel more confident.
Yes. That's so true. Mm.
But so, you know, there's two other little things. One is this word anticlimax. Would you, you know, you're saying, oh, what an anticlimax. Would you feel, is there a part of you that's sort of been longing to do a great, huge, big, mega, hyped up, successful launch that would feel disappointed if you just did it humbly?
No. No, not that I can.
That's okay.
I'm not sure.
And there's no sense of anticlimax in your life at the moment?
Not really. No.
That, well, all of that is good. I would say the thing to watch there is just that sense of, wouldn't it be amazing and isn't it possible, because it looks like from your dream that it is, that you could achieve something like as wonderful as getting that different cream out there to a much larger population of the world, maybe including America, and it being that simple and no big deal.
That would be how I would feel.
Yeah.
Because it has been the case in the past when I've achieved something and it was, yes, but then I think I was a little bit too in the past, with my successes, I didn't value them enough because I wasn't valuing myself enough.
Yeah, that's right. And so, go on.
When I look back now and see what I did achieve, it is quite huge, but I lost it because I didn't think I was good enough for it, I think. Mm. And I think this is the wisdom or the knowledge that I've gained as I look back.
That's absolutely fantastic. A subtle shift and a huge one, hey?
Yes, and I guess that's where the anticlimax is, and that's where the word came into my head.
Yeah, that's right. Because you would have expected it to be as enormous and dramatic and as it was before, and as you've just described there, you know, when you look back, you realise that you've done huge and fantastic things in the past, but that you've also lost them because you didn't value it as much.
Myself.
Yeah, yourself. And when you lose something like that, all the drama comes into your life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that all goes back to my family and the insecurities that I had as I was growing up.
Mm.
And the nine could even go back to, I was nine and a bit when we came to Australia.
Mm. And that's,
and that was a big trauma
for
me. But I didn't know it.
Until you look.
It affected the rest of my life.
Mm. And you know, I don't know whether you want to tell us much about the trauma, Iphigenia, but at that trauma, now you look back at it at age nine, that affected your rest of your life. Was the key element of that self-value?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I lost my support system, which I grew up with. And it is amazing the difference that it makes. You may acquire support systems throughout your life, but nothing is as fundamental and as deep as the support system early in your life.
Mm.
And it's not only the people, it's where you've grown up, it's the land, it's what you see around you, the flowers, everything. And suddenly I was cut off from that.
Mm.
And the people that supported me, the people that were close to me, was not my mother, and my father was never with us. He was always overseas. So my grandparents, who were the closest to me, were no longer in my life. And I didn't show any emotion. That was the other thing.
Mm.
So nobody knew how I was feeling. And literally, I had my life planned out at that age. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And then all those dreams were just cut away. So from then on, I never made plans and I never had dreams again as to what I was going to do in the future. I never did that. And I didn't realize that until probably in the last few years when I've been doing a lot of soul research.
Yeah.
And then my dreams, the main thing, they give me so much insight about everything. And this is a wonderful thing, being able to talk to you, because you pick up the points that I would have missed.
Mm.
Because I obviously don't have your knowledge. I can only go by what I feel.
Oh, thank you for that. Having worked in the field myself for so many years now, I should be able to do that. And I'm glad that I do. And I can completely understand and even personally relate to what you're saying there, you know, because although I wasn't nine, I have travelled around a lot, and I finally came to Australia when I was 29, which is obviously a lot older. But I love the country now, but it took me a long time to readjust. I particularly noticed what you said there about, you know, the different plants, the flowers, the trees. It's such a completely different, and I know you came from a different country than I did, but it is such a completely different environment, you know, a different humor, a different approach to life. And it really takes quite a while, and it can be difficult for people that haven't been transplanted by choice or not.
Yes.
Yeah, to understand that.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yes.
So in yours, you know, what I really picked up with what you said there was, you said obviously, you know, you lost what you felt was your support system when you were nine, and in last night's dream you had like almost the best support system you could have. Hey, you know, President of America, all powerful here. and the other thing that, you know, you'd really,
and that could very well be your help to an extent.
Thank you. Yeah, because there's also there, you know, when you mentioned when you were nine and you came to Australia, you had all your dreams set out ahead of you and planned, but when you lost the support system, they just disappeared and they didn't come true. And there was an anticlimax, even though you wouldn't have probably been able to put that word on it when you were nine.
No.
That was the biggest anticlimax of all. You had your life planned ahead of you and it was gone.
It was gone.
So in a sense, then, you know, until the recent work that you've done and your dream last night, there was probably always a feeling of, if I make a big change, like moving to Australia, because, you know, we always reference the past, it's going to be traumatic, I'm going to lose my support system, and it's going to be a big anticlimax.
Right.
Whereas what your dream in last night did, even though you said, oh, it's a bit of an anticlimax, it was almost like we've dropped the climax, anticlimax issue. It doesn't matter.
Right. Yes.
And so that $9 that you had in your dream was perfectly adequate to go forward. And as you said, as often with dreams, Iphigenia, it's so interesting, as often with dreams, there are so many levels of resonance. You know, the nine for you was familiarity. It was 9 months ago when you had a reconciliation with soft, gentle, humble, you know, just get on with it kind of person, which is the energy that you're now bringing back into yourself. And as you say, when you were nine, completely losing your support system and, you know, and basically your confidence to plan and go and do anything. So this is an absolutely huge breakthrough reflected in a very short, sharp dream.
My goodness, yes. Yes, and to see it last night and to be able to discuss it with you today, I think that means a lot in itself.
Yeah, it does.
Because had I not shared it with you, I would have not understood everything about the dream. In fact, I wouldn't have understood much at all.
And then the opportunity's lost, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, you can, you know, bring the dream up, you know, 2 or 3 months later, and it's still got huge value in it. You can look back on it, but the action that you take on it then has just lost the touch, you know, whereas if you act on it straight, on the information straight away, in terms of understanding yourself and doing the alchemy and knowing how to work with that.
I wish I could talk to you every day.
It's quite interesting because although this is right in the middle of your interpretation, I'm just going to mention this because it comes up quite a lot when people say to me, look, what do I do? You know, like we all have 4 or 5 dreams a night. Have you actually worked out how many that is in, you know, in a year? And what do I do? Do I consult you for every dream? Because, you know, 5 dreams a night times your fee is just not possible. But I mean, how many hours a day am I going to be talking to you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I usually say to people, look, you know, there's 3 pointers as to which dream to bring with me. One is any recurring theme that just keeps on coming up because that reflects a recurring waking life theme that needs to be sorted out. The other one is if you have a dream that's really, really frightening, you know, you might call it a nightmare because that usually indicates in a very positive way what can really boost you far forward. And the third one is any dream that you have when you're going through any kind of change or challenge and you really, really, really want perspective. But what you've just demonstrated there is I was booked in for the podcast, so I thought, well, what better than last night's dream? It's short, but hey, that's fine. And so what we've demonstrated there is the power of looking at any dream. But that would be normally the guidelines, the recurring dream, the nightmare, or a vivid dream during a time of change or challenge. So I just mentioned that because you kind of brought up that subject a little bit there too.
Yes. And what does a recurring dream mean? It happens to me a lot.
Okay, so it might be a specific recurring dream, you know, the same dream that comes up item by item. It's always exactly the same, or more commonly,
same color, a cornucopia.
Yeah,
this is the second time in about 6 months.
Okay, we might just
a red cornucopia,
a second time in 6 months. Mm. I'll answer that question in just a moment. I'll just finish describing. It's more common for people to have a recurring theme so that, you know, as you said, you know, it might be I keep getting red in my dreams, or I keep dreaming about tidal waves, or I keep dreaming about this person, you know, or I keep dreaming that I'm trapped in a room. That's more of a recurring theme. And because the dream always refers to the day or two before, if you've got something that's recurring in your waking life issue that keeps on coming up, that isn't quite sorted, that needs your attention, then you'll also keep getting the recurring theme. And so that's why it can be really powerful, you know, to consult with me or get sorted out on a recurring theme, because it then... sorts out the recurring issue in life. But in your one, just briefly going to this red cornucopia, in those 2 dreams that you had, what kind of feeling did the red color give you, Iphigenia?
I like the color. It has a warmth. I always feel a warmth toward the red.
Mm.
It was a true red. And it was brought to me as a gift.
Oh, how lovely.
And it was put on a table. By a Greek person, and you know what they say, beware of Greeks
bearing gifts. Well, okay, so I'm going to ask you 2 big questions here. Number one, I was about to say, oh, what a beautiful dream. So these dreams were, the first one was about 6 months ago, you said?
Yes.
So,
Could be
9 months ago. So we're not quite sure on the timing, but if it was 9 months ago, it would tie in with the dream that we've just looked at.
I wish it was easy to find it in my book, but going back 9 months, it would be a big job.
Yeah.
Because I write my dreams down every day.
Do you keep a little list of titles of your dreams in the back of your journal?
No.
That can be a quick way to do it, that you just take the last couple of pages and you just give them each dream a title, you know, whatever occurs to you. So you might have called that red cornucopia. Then you can quickly flick your pen back and have a look.
What a good idea. Thank you for
a pleasure.
That would make my life a lot easier. Thank you.
You can also, through my website, you can access an online dream journal, which is pretty easy to find if you just go to the interpretation
page. Oh, I refer
page.
To that often.
Yeah, so that you can.
I find it very helpful, and I love reading dreams that you have interpreted because I learn a lot through that.
Oh, yeah, no.
So I refer to your website all the time.
Thank you very much. That's really, but it is another thing. It's actually a dream journal that you can download onto your computer, and you can type your dreams in, and then it's a database, and you can search. So you can actually put in a computer search in your dreams.
Okay.
So I will send you the link privately for that because I know your email address. But for anyone else listening in, just go to my dream.net.au website and click interpretation on the top menu bar. And you'll see some bullet points, and one of those says free e-dream journal. So if that interests you, go there. Back to your dream, Iphigenia, because we can't say whether it was 6 or 9 months ago, we're not sure. But because 9 months ago was when we're talking about this other dream, that person who's soft, gentle, humble, you know, that you were reminded of in the current dream, is he Greek?
Yes.
Right, so you might have then back then thought, oh, this feels really good, but beware of Greeks bearing gifts. And so the reconciliation that you had with him, you might have then sort of thought, I'm not really so sure. Could life really be that kind to me? I'm not really so sure about this. But what I liked what you said about the red cornucopia dreams was you said it was a warm colour and it's a true colour. And we've just been talking about being your true self, you know, soft, gentle, humble, and putting your true self out there. So that would probably be how we're becoming. What I also like about last night's dream is its positivity. And a lot of people often say, look, I understand how you can do a dream alchemy exercise based on a dream that feels uncomfortable, you know, because the point of the dream alchemy practice is to reverse that, you know, to undo what's not comfortable so that everything works out well. But what do you do with a dream that feels good? And of course, the answer is you apply dream alchemy, because if you've got a dream that, like yours, that basically says, yeah, everything's fine. You may wake up and not feel confident, but unconscious mind, we're in agreement with this. We're happy for you to go ahead and launch your cream as long as you do it as your natural self. We then do a dream alchemy practice that reinforces what is already good.
Oh, that's nice. It was very positive. It was. And I know what you mean with that, because I get a lot of feeling in my dreams. So I know more from the feeling than the symbols.
Yeah.
There was nothing negative in that dream last night. It was comfort. Comfort, as if he was there all the time. The position and the obligations and the things that had to be done.
That is wonderful.
As if I was always doing that.
And that's interesting, because that is, even though in the dream it felt like as if you were always doing that, and you know that this is actually a recent change within you, it's funny that when we do make a change, particularly at a deep unconscious level, our brain kind of catches up and we think, well, hasn't life always been that way? Because the change has been made. And so that sense that you've got, as I've always been like this, it's partly because the change has been made and you feel that, and partly because your dream is really about getting back in touch with your own truth. So even though you've got to go a long way back for that, it's like, yes, I know this. So what I suggest for the dream alchemy is that we reinforce that and take it a further step. So I'm thinking something like, depending on how you feel about it, something like you're back in the dream, and so you just hold the hand of the husband in the dream, because he is a part of yourself, and you go out of the door and you open the back door of the limo and you get in and you just are driven off. And while you're being driven off, you're just really summoning up within yourself all the emotions and feelings that you just described so well about feeling comfortable, about feeling powerful in a soft, gentle, humble way. And we might even get the back of the limousine driver's seat to carry an ad. And it's going to be an ad for your new cream?
Oh, yes.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Are you ready in front of everybody now to go through a visualization for this? I'll lead you through it.
I'd love to.
Okay, close your eyes. Okay, Iphigenia, so here you are in your dream, and you turn to your husband, the new united States of America president, and you hold his hand, and it feels so good. It feels so soft, gentle, humble, comfortable, natural. And you walk out of the house, and there's the limo waiting for you. The back door of the limo is open for you. All you have to do is step inside, and you step inside and sit down, sitting together, and the car drives off. And as it drives off, you look at the back of the driver's seat, and there's an ad, and it's the ad for your new cream. And it even says underneath it, you know, Australia, the world's best-selling cream. And you just feel, this is so natural, this is so easy, I'm just doing what needs to be done, it's so true to myself, it feels so good. And that's it. How did that feel?
I got shivers.
Ah, that's good. As usual with the Dream Alchemy, you know, particularly with a visualization, do it 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, and then twice a day for about 4 weeks after that, and just note down any changes you notice in your life, big, small. And particularly, I think you're going to feel quite different when you get back to work tomorrow, or even when we finish recording this. I think you might be getting busy on that cream. And if you ever feel, I mean...
It feels good. It feels great. I have been using it since last night, and it really, actually, I just realized that's exactly how it feels.
That's fantastic.
Because I've kept applying it just to see if there's going to be any reaction to the skin since I made it. And that's how it feels.
Are you able to tell us a little bit more about the cream, what it's called, or is this all a secret at the moment?
No. As I said, I have been making products for a long time, but I'm constantly trying to evolve in a sense of providing the best material, the best ingredients. So I'm constantly researching, and recently I've added three main ingredients, which is Dong Quai, wild yam. I usually deal with more mature women, and so we're all menopausing. Yeah. And wild yam is exceptional for menopausing. So the same as we have to take a supplement when we're in that time of our life, we need to apply it from the surface as well. Yeah. So it's the wild yam, the reishi mushroom, and the Dong Quai and astragalus herbs that are included in this cream. And that's to give the skin the boost, the hormonal boost and the vitamin boost that it needs, along with a lot of other ingredients. But this was the new bit that I did now.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, I know, you know, everyone that comes on the podcast show, or most people that come on the show, come in anonymously, and that's part of the deal. But if there's ever a point, if any, which you would like to promote the cream through, you know, my blog, that we can say to people, remember Iphigenia? Well, those of you that are interested, this is where you go to get a cream.
The dream came true.
Yeah, just let me know and I'll put that up. But,
well, thank you for that. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, and I'm very happy to do that, as you know, for anyone that comes on the show. But by the same token, I appreciate this, you know, that people often like to be confidential when they have these dreams done. So that's over to you, and just let me know at any time.
Thank you. But tell me, Jane Teresa, how am I going to remember my alchemy?
Well, when this episode comes out, you'll be able to listen to it all the time. You know, we leave these podcasts up forever. In fact, I just had an email from someone this morning who I'll be reporting an update in the next week or two, saying, thank goodness you leave these podcast shows up, because I've just gone back and listened and I hadn't realized how much had changed in my life. So that's one way. I might be able to get Michael to snip out the bit with your visualization and email it to you. Normally, as you know, when I do a consultation with someone, I'm at a different computer. I'm not in the recording studio. And when we get to the bit with the visualization, I usually hit the record button and just capture that visualization and email it to the person the next day. But in the recording studio, I'm just sitting in front of the microphone, and I don't have the console in front of me, but I can see Michael taking a note to see if we can do that.
That would be such a good idea.
And if you can do that, I'll definitely send that one to you.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a pleasure. Another recent podcast guest said to me that she had difficulty with following the visualization, and we weren't able to send it to her because of the length of the podcast. But what I suggested to her was to actually replay that part and write down the words that I used with the visualization and re-record it in her own voice to listen to. And she did that, and she said it made a huge difference. So just for other guests out there listening, it's not always easy for us to get a visualization out of a long recording, but that is also another avenue to go. Iphigenia, thank you so much. That was a fantastic contribution. You've given people a lot of help, a lot of inspiration, a lot of pointers there. And I think we in turn have, you know, I and all of our listeners have just stood right behind you for the launch of your new cream.
Thank you so much. That was my big pleasure. Thank you so much, Jane Teresa. Thank you.
Now, I had a little chat with Iphigenia just now. We finished recording about 10 minutes ago and had a little chat with her after the program, which is what I do with all podcast guests. And she decided that she would be very, very, very happy for me to give out her website address so that those of you who are listening and are keen to sample, buy the cream that she's about to launch, or chat to her about that, or maybe look at stocking it. I don't know. She said, yeah, I'm okay. Just give them my website address. So I'm going to give it to you now. So go and get a pencil if you want to write this one down. And also, of course, when I blog about this, I'll also have the link in there. But her website address is www.heavenlyspa.com.au. So that's Heavenly Spa, or one word, heavenlyspa.com.au. And I think you'll find a contact page there and just have a chat with Iphigenia. Tell her you heard her on episode 66. Make sure she knows where you're coming from, that you've got the dream connection. Encourage her and buy and sample and enjoy. And I also mentioned during the podcast there the eDream journal, which we've had in various guises for quite a number of years. And Belinda, who developed it, has recently updated it a lot. And the website, if you want to go direct to that, during the podcast, I gave how to get to it from my own website. But if you want to go direct to that and download it, it is free. It does make it easy for you to create a database of your own dreams. So if you're not fully committed to handwriting a dream journal, which I know is a lot of people's preferences, and you are actually happier with a keyboard and you'd like to create a database of your own dreams so you can search and find them easier, go to www.dreamsitediary.com. So that's Dreamsite Diary, all one word, as in, of course, DreamSight diary.com. And, you know, well, I have to mention my own sites too, don't I? So dream.net.au or janetheresa.com, or join me on Facebook. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Next week, we may have some updates from previous guests. I'm accumulating some lovely updates now and really excited to share those with you. And of course, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please contact me for that too. It's always fun. I love to ring the changes, and I hope you enjoy the changes too. Have a lovely week, and I'll see you next Friday for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.